Welcome to Mindset Mastery. Discover the keys to true financial freedom. Join your host, Bonnie Gressel, and 25 amazing experts in this special event that will help you experience a breakthrough in your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you're just starting out in your journey or striving to reach a higher level, these successful entrepreneurs will help you build the mindset you need for success. And now, your host, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome to Mindset Mastery, the key to true financial freedom. I'm Bonnie Gressel, your host for this summit. You know, we all face challenges to reach our dream, and perhaps this is you. Whether you're just starting out or you've been in business for a while, maybe it's not generating the revenue that you want. Well, let me tell you, you're in the right place. The goal of this summit is for you to experience a breakthrough in your business. These successful and inspiring entrepreneurs share their expertise, helping you gain clarity and the mindset you need to bring your business to the next level, unleashing the power within you to build the business of your dreams. Join me today in welcoming our expert speaker, top business growth expert Yun Cannon. Helps overwhelmed entrepreneurs get the right strategies and confidence you need to attract the clients and create a thriving business that you love. Yun is a seasoned entrepreneur. Since 1992, she started, turnkeyed, and sold three other businesses. Yun is featured in CNN Money, Inc., Entrepreneur, Fortune Magazine, The Wall Street Journal, and more. In addition to running her powerful Biz Academy and mastermind groups, she enjoys chilling out with her husband, Tom, and their three kids in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Be sure to grab her 90-day business transformation template at ParamountBusinessCoach.com. Welcome, Yun. I am so excited to have you here with us today to share all of your wisdom and insights.
Well, thanks for having me, Bonnie. I'm excited to have this talk today as well.
Oh, you know, let's get right into it. You know, the mindset is such an important thing, and I think a lot of people sometimes miss that step when they're first starting out. Could you share a little bit about your journey and your thoughts on the importance of mindset, how it affected you along your path, which has been amazing, by the way?
Oh, well, thank you. I was actually, I would say, an accidental entrepreneur, so I never really had visions and dreams of pursuing this life. I chose to do it temporarily in the beginning, right out of college for me. I thought it was the fastest way to fund my dreams of, pursuing performing in New York. And so I had started a marketing business in the direct sales industry, and I knew I didn't know what I was doing. So I really crammed to learn all the right things. And for me, the mindset around that is I knew that I wouldn't be so nervous or so unconfident if I could just get the knowledge, the learning, the how-to, you know, and I could practice that. So for me, it was always a focus on that, around that belief and knowledge, to know that if I can just go get the training, you know, to practice the skills, and that's what's going to build my confidence. So I've held on to that, you know, ever since. Has helped me tremendously, you know, as far as mindset, because, yeah, we all have that voice, you know, those gremlins that, you know, tell you all the reasons why you can't do things, you know. And back then, I mean, I had leased a 2-year off. I did a 2-year office lease. I was responsible to pay my receptionist, you know, some sales team and so forth. So, you know, that can really make you nervous when you're doing this for the first time. And you have those voices that say, oh my gosh, you know, you're so young and no one's going to take you seriously. Or, you know, for me, I'm Korean, so I even have that going on in the back of my head. Like, oh, you're in a predominantly Caucasian county. I don't know if anybody's going to relate to you, you know. So yeah. I've had lots of those, you know, kind of gremlins. And so the mindset, it does matter. So at any rate, what happened, I ended up, you know, doing that for building that business for 7 years, grew it to 6 additional branch locations. As I got older, I didn't really have the itch anymore to go and pursue any kind of performing. But what I did instead is I opened up a performing arts center And I hired 30 faculty. I renovated a 5,000 square foot space, you know, and I grew that as well as a retail store, a nonprofit production company, and an entertainment venue. I grew those businesses for 10 years, turnkeyed it, and then eventually sold it. So my whole background has pretty much been an entrepreneur. I don't think I ever really considered myself one until my second or third business.
Wow. Wow. You know, and you know, you talk about the gremlins, and I think a lot of us have that, and something that never goes away, sometimes completely, you know, it might get better, but then it comes back. How did you get past that, especially in the beginning? You know, like, who am I? Who's going to listen to me? And I'm so young, and I'm a woman, and all of those sorts of things. What was it that got you past that? What do you think?
Well, I think what helped for me in those early years, I was on a steady diet of Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar and Anthony Robbins and Les Brown. You know, I was on a steady diet of listening to all those great, you know, motivational leaders. And that helped tremendously, you know, I felt like I had to, this is what I did. I knew that I had those gremlins in my head, and the only way I could shut them up was to have another voice talking in my head, right? So you would, at that time, I think they were on tapes. You know, I had all the tape cassettes from these guys, and just constantly playing it in my car and listening as I'm driving to the office, and, you know, listening anytime, you know, if I'm getting a meal break, and just getting that into my psyche, you know, into my system, until I found myself, you know, having less and less of those gremlins and having more and more confidence that you can do that. And then I think, you know, when you start practicing and you start seeing that it's not as hard as it seems, all things, when you first start out, they appear hard, you know, but when you learn how to do it and you start practicing, you get feedback, and then you get better at it. And when you do that, you that builds your confidence as well, that you think, you know what, I can do this. I'm starting to see progress. And I think if you think of yourself as an entrepreneur, much the way we may regard, you know, our children, you think about building confidence in your kids. When they're young, you know, when they're a brand new beginner at whatever it is, whether it's sports or music, they're not going to be that confident, you know, and they're going to be nervous when they get up on that stage and sing their first song, you know, as a little elementary school kid. But as that young kid continues to get training and continues to practice their art, their craft, their sport, they're seeing better results. And it truly just feeds, you know, it feeds on your confidence and helps you get rid of those gremlins.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's a great analogy, because you're absolutely right. When anyone starts something new, there's always going to be that beginning part where you just don't feel adequate, right? You don't have the confidence. What do you think, Yun, was the turning point for you when you finally felt like you were an entrepreneur? Because you said that didn't happen right away.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I really thought of myself as one, you know, until my second or third business. When did I really think of myself as an entrepreneur? I'd say probably not until I got my business down to the point where I scaled my business while cutting back my working hours. And so that now really felt like it was systematized. It was running by itself. I would only go visit my business like once a week. I managed my staff virtually, even though they were located a mile from me. you know, probably less than a mile, actually. And so I managed them virtually, and I was able to get my working hours from 40 down to 30, down to 20, and eventually down to 10 to 15 hours a week. I think it's really that point where I felt like, oh, I think this was what an entrepreneur does, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
so that's where I had more time and focus to, you know, start some other businesses.
Oh, and that's, I think you bring up such a good point, because being an entrepreneur doesn't have to equate, or shouldn't equate, to working like 80 hours a week and not having a life. You know, you have to have a life too, especially if you have a family or other obligations. And so it's, you know, that balance piece, you know, between the two. And I've talked to people about that, you know, before, and how much of a struggle that is, especially for new folks starting out as entrepreneurs, to have that balance. You know, they're either putting all their time into work and they're, you know, not spending time with their family or their loved ones or whatever, and that's not healthy either.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. And I think the other thing that's come to mind is surrounding yourself with positive people, you know, and that was hard, I'll tell you, for me to do, because as much as I love some of the folks who were close to me at that time, there were a few key people in my life who just kind of, you know, they had great intentions and so forth, but may have had more of a cynical, pessimistic outlook, you know, of why do this and why do that. And so I think to counteract that, you just to truly seek out other people who are going to lift you up and surround yourself with positive people, people who are of like-minded mindset, and you know, refuel yourself from that. So then when you are around, you know, whether it's that family member who likes to just, you know, nitpick at everything. And, I mean, yeah, I had a whole construction crew who would, you know, just throw remarks every day at me on my second business when I was renovating the facility, because I think it took 6 months to renovate. And every day the construction crew would just sort of laugh and say, "So you don't have any customers yet, right?" How do you know you're not going to go out of business? You know, and so sure, it's gonna be there, and you just have to expect it, and you know, ground yourself in surrounding yourself with other positive people and feeding your mind with healthy stuff.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And believing in yourself, I think that's something that, you know. Because, you know, surrounding yourself with other people, to me, it's all energy. So, yes, we take in that good energy, that positive energy, but you got to believe it too. So that whole worthiness piece,
yeah.
Do you find in the people that you work with in helping them to, you know, bring their business to the you know, six or seven figure level that they want, struggle at all with that or have at some point with the whole worthiness piece?
Yeah, I'd say I can think of some people. Not everybody falls into that category, but I definitely can think of some people I've coached who have struggled with that worthiness piece. You know, I have one person in mind who, you know, was running a family business and inherited a family business, and it's actually established. So there really was no reason why they couldn't, you know, do 2 million and 3 million. They were hovering at that, you know, 1 million for a lot of years. They sort of plateaued at that level. And so that mindset piece does, you know, come into play where they do have the capacity, the talent to take that business from what it was doing and take it to the whole, you know, a whole nother level. And so it is something that I think is more common out there than we may address. And I think knowing that it's common, if you're going through it, a period, you know, we all go through periods of this. We all go through different seasons and different levels of intensity, you know, as far as feeling like we're not, you know, able to do this. I think just even having someone else to talk with and talking that out loud, as far as, now, do you believe you can do this? Do you believe you have what it takes? And if do you think it's also whatever you might have as far as gaps are, do you think that's something you can learn? And I think that's an important aspect. So I think it's important to give yourself permission that you don't have to have it all right now. You don't have to know it all right now. You don't have to know how something's going to get done. But if you knew, and I think for me, I felt like I always knew I could work hard, and I had discipline, and I could do that. I could be disciplined. I could stick with it. You know, I could have that don't give up, you know, spirit, and that practice. And, you know, growing up playing the piano and growing up being trained in a music school really, I think, impressed that upon me. You know, the importance of practice, 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 practice. And I knew I could do that. And I knew that if anybody who practices anything for any great length amount of time is going to eventually make some progress. And so I think that's an important factor to remind ourselves, to give yourself permission that you don't have to have all of it right now. You don't have to have all the answers right now, because some of the gaps you can go get along the way. You know, you can acquire and you can learn things. You can use borrowed wisdom. You know, you can hire people to do things that you don't know how to do. So I think that's an important aspect that will help us, you know, boost your self-confidence.
Along the way, in your earlier times, maybe as an entrepreneur, maybe even before you considered yourself an entrepreneur, if there were mistakes or pitfalls that you encountered along the way, how, you know, and maybe there weren't, I don't mean to imply, right, but if there were, how did you keep from repeating that? How did you keep from not, you know, so that you didn't have to go back there and experience that again?
Well, for me, I think the most powerful change was learning how to overcome limiting beliefs. And I really think there's two parts to that. So first, you got to first decide to overcome your limiting beliefs. And I got to tell you, Bonnie, I've never seen anyone be successful in any area of life, whether it's business, sports, music, you know, losing weight, relationships, none of that, who didn't have to learn how to master their mindset. You know, and I think we see plenty of examples in sports how mindset does play a critical factor that influences whether a team loses or wins a game, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so the same team, the same athlete can be amazing in one game and then sloppy in another. And I really believe in our businesses that is no different. And so for me, I had to make that decision to overcome my limiting beliefs. But the second thing I learned how to do is I believe you have to have a specific method for overcoming those limiting beliefs. And to me, it made sense to have a defensive strategy and an offensive strategy. So my defensive strategy was to write down my core beliefs about business success. So I truly believe, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Because those who stand for nothing, you know, they're going to end up falling for anything. And so you really have to ask yourself, what truths do you stand for? You know, what do you really believe? And have you written it down? You know, corporations do this, and when they do it, it's called your core ideology. You know, if you're doing it for your family, you have a written family, the core value statement of what your family beliefs are, right? And so we want to do this for ourselves, for our own businesses, and write down, what do I believe about success? And that was a big breakthrough for me, Bonnie. So, you know, if you think about sports again, you know, a strong defensive team, it keeps the other team from scoring. And in our businesses, when we hold strong to our beliefs, it defends us against those gremlins that try to knock you down, you know? And so I have written beliefs around success. I don't know if I have time to share what they are, but I have it. And then I can also talk about the offensive strategy around this.
Well, you know, and what occurs to me is, as you're saying this, is that until we write it down, we don't maybe even realize what our beliefs are, and some of them are limiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, on my list, I write things down like, hey, success, I believe success doesn't happen overnight. And on my list, I write three words, food, health, exercise. To me, it makes total sense. Yeah, if you want to get healthy, you know, you can't just eat great food for 1 or 2 weeks and decide and end up being healthy. And that to me, you know, clicks, the switch gets clicked over pretty fast to apply that to my business. And so, you know, I have a list of things that I believe around business success, and that keeps me grounded on my defensive strategy. So should I tell you about the offensive strategy?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. And if we have time, I'd love to even share a couple of things on my list. But anyway, the offensive strategy to overcoming your limiting beliefs, you want to think about this. You know, when what I see happens a lot is this. Our faith can waver when we focus on the obstacles. So when we take our eye off the goal, we end up naturally, you know, seeing just the obstacles. And so with an offensive strategy, you know, I use what I call the TLC. And this was developed really I started honing, I developed that from watching my kids. I'll give you an illustration with the kids. I have two sons and a daughter. My boys grew up playing soccer. And I remember one time there was a big state cups game that my son Keegan's team was playing in, and they lost. So it was a tough loss because the players knew they had the skill, they had the training, they had the preparation. I asked my son why he thought they lost, and I was surprised, Bonnie, by the insight that he shared. And at the time, he was like 13 years old. He said he felt that the team lost because they lost their confidence when the other team scored 3 goals against them early on in the game. And so before halftime even came around, the team believed that there was no way to win the game.
Sure.
And I think that's the same for our businesses. And so when we see, like we're swinging and missing, in our businesses, I've developed my TLC strategy. So T stands for talk it, type it, which just means say it out loud, all those quiet voices that are going on in your inner dialogue, it's these negative statements that you're saying to yourself. So say it out loud so you can actually address it and see it for what it is. L is for let it go. Don't keep holding on to the negative inner dialogue. Let it go. Stop reminding yourself of past failures. And then C is for coach yourself.
I like that.
Yeah, so give yourself a better thought, because if you don't, if you hold on to a limiting belief, it really can cripple your business. Mm-hmm. And so that's my TLC strategy for my offensive strategy.
Oh, I love that. And, kind of a sports thing again, you can feel the momentum. I look at it as momentum shifting in a game where two teams are, fighting, playing a sporting game. And it's the same, and you're right, it's the same in your business. Sometimes we just lose momentum.
Yeah, and it's sneaky, the thoughts that you allow to go on in your mind. If you don't exercise that awareness muscle, it's really sneaky how you don't even realize you're thinking these thoughts. I mean, I had a client that I was working with on this, and she just was going through such resistance with some of the sales and marketing stuff we were working on, and this is what surfaced. What was holding her back was her limiting beliefs. So when we did this exercise and I made her say it out loud, what are all the thoughts that she can come up with, she can think that is going on, and so we had her write it down. I had her write it down on a big piece of paper, and for her, she believed, she said, we are in a recession. No one is going to buy. That was the quiet voice that she never spoke out loud, but she had that thought. And so I asked her, I said, all right, well, you know what? You need to find 7 examples from the same buyer group who are still spending money on similar purchases. Write these examples down and put it all over your limiting belief.
Yeah.
And so that process for her really helped her, just as, the same process I keep using to help me.
Sure, sure. Well, it's, that whole saying it aloud, somebody, I can't remember whose quote this is, but it's say it, claim it.
It's
like saying it out loud, it gives it power, and it gives it, and sometimes people even do imagery around it. I mean, because everything kind of looks like something in our mind. But just making it real, it's that awareness piece that I think is important to start with awareness.
Absolutely. And I think the imagery is, and even other activities are always great things to do. I mean, I've had some of my clients, go as far as write it down and burn it in the fire. Watch it burn so you can just physically let it go. Let go of those thoughts because they're not helping.
Yeah. And that letting go part is the hardest. It's in my mind. That's the hardest part. And some people, that's where they get stuck. It's like, okay, I know what it is. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to say it. But I can't let it go. So how do you help clients do this? Or how did you do this along your path to actually be able to let it go? Or maybe it's the process that you just described that really works for you in that way.
Yeah, well, I think it works together, the offensive and the defensive. So, you let it go. But what – you're not just telling yourself, okay, I'm not going to think this anymore. Because that makes us think about it, right?
Exactly.
But instead, you go back to the list that you decided, these are the principles, these are the truths that I believe, you know? And so I go back to my list and I read them and I replace my thoughts with meditating and focusing and just really digesting these thoughts. So, you know, one of mine is, hey, I believe the only way I can succeed is by helping others succeed. Mm-hmm. And by me focusing on that and just meditating on that for even a couple minutes, that helps to shift my belief shifts, that particular belief shifts my focus off of me, and it reframes my focus on how I can better help my audience, you know, a small business owner. So it's really not about, you know, you stop getting preoccupied about yourself and what you can or cannot do, and you just rechannel that energy to who is it that you were trying to help in the first place, right?
Right.
Focus on them. So, you know, those are one, that's one of the things on my list. And then I go through some of the other things. So when I might have a day where, you know, I'm having a moment of weakness or I had a really epic fail and I'm feeling awful about myself and licking my wounds, right? Because we all have it. I go to my list and I reread the things that I said I believed. And it's a deep conviction to say, yeah, you know what? That's true. Let me think on that instead. So it's not just like dieting. You don't think about, oh, I can't have chocolate. You know, what you think about are the things that you can have and that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with our mindset is we think about the positive things we believe in. So I believe genius is 1% talent and 99% hard work. That's what Albert Einstein said. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. And so now I don't have to beat myself up if I'm having a day where I feel pretty untalented. You know? So yeah. I said, it doesn't matter if I'm untalented. I only need 1%, right?
That's right. That's right.
Albert Einstein said so, and I think he's a smart guy, so I'm going to go with that.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a powerful tool for people to be able to use when they're feeling stuck and to just recognize those limiting beliefs. Now, I know that you've got a very nice, very special gift for all the people listening. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I have a one-page business transformation template. You know, it's to help you design your roadmap in your business, what you need to focus on to hit your goals in just the next 90-day period. And that particular template also is goes hand in hand with this mindset, because I think a lot of folks can get overly tripped up on, okay, I just gotta all be willpower and mind power and motivation. But because the other half of it is, if you don't have a clear roadmap, you know, it's not gonna help you either. You know, you need both. You truly need both. And so that's what I have as a free gift.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that generous offer. You know, we've talked about so many awesome things today. You have such wisdom to share. Is there like one thing, if people couldn't fit any more in their brains today, what one thing would you like to leave them with? Maybe it's a thought, a suggestion, or maybe an action step that they can take right now to get to that breakthrough in their business.
Well, I'd say the one action step is go get that template, because that's going to help you stay focused on your roadmap. And then for your mindset action step, I would say it's give yourself permission to feel all those negative things at first, you know, and because that's what courage is. Courage is not, not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward despite the fear. So sometimes our mindset can really be about, you know, thoughts of worry or thoughts that bring anxiety. And I think it's important to say, well, it's going to be there. We all get anxious or worried or mm-hmm. nervous and things like that from time to time. And so just take courage. You can do it.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking your time, because I know you're a busy person. Thank you so much for taking your time to share all of these pieces of wisdom and your expertise with all of us. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Bonnie. Thanks for having me.